In the last parsha, which is a lead into this week's parsha, not only because there's one pasuk from part Perek Vav at the last week's parsha, then we go right into this week's parsha. So it's really a continuation. But the pasukim themselves, I like to try to make a kesh in the pasukim. The last pasuk says, "Vayomar Hashem Moshe." Sorry. Let's go back to Pesukim. Vayashav Moshe Hashem Vayomar Hashem Lama Hereos Lama Ze Lama Ze Shlaftani Umayaz Bati Al Paro Dabir Bishmecha Hera Lama Ze Vatzelo Yitzalta Tamecha. It's only God words. I was here to save everybody. I'm making everyone's life miserable. The decrees are getting stronger. The offices are getting harder. This is not good. For this you needed me. I'm out. I'm jumping ship. I'm out. Hashem says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, come on. Hold on. ויאמר השם משה, אתה תראה אשר יעשה לפרעה, כי ביד חזקה ישלחם, וביד חזקה יגרשם מארצו. You'll see what I'm going to do. End of the parsha. Our parsha says, the first pasuk. וידבר אלוקים אל משה, ויאמר אליו, אני השם. What's your point? Not sure yet. ויראה אליו רב עצב ילקו בקר שקי, ושמי השם, לא נודעתי להם. Up till now, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have been dealing with our forefathers, our ancestors, our great avos, the patriarchs, with Kel Shakai. That was my hanhaga with them. Ushmi Hashem but I didn't know who I really am. Vegama kimosi, vegama yishamati, lachenem of the Israel, Ani Hashem. What is this Ani Hashem business? Mazer! It says it twice. It says it bookends. Okay? The first pasuk and the fifth pasuk. Okay? Squeezing inside that up until now we've had some type of involvement, some type of nevuah, some type of gilui to the avos, which was very nice, very important, but it wasn't Ani Hashem. Now we're going to be Ani Hashem. What is that going to do? Mazer Omer. And that really is the answer to Moshe's taina, which is, it's gotten worse. It's bad news. Hashem says, I hear you what you're saying. Ani Hashem. That's an answer, but we don't understand it. But the Malbim did understand. The Malbim, and he's going to enlighten us, hopefully, so now us, we will also understand. Says the Malbim, that there are, I'm going to say this outside because the Lashon is a little bit hard. I'll try to zero in on a couple lines that are really very important, but the Malbim says, I'll just try to paraphrase, the Malbim says there are two different ways that a Kadosh Baruch Hu conducts and is manhig the world. We spoke about it a little bit at the end of last week's Parsha Shir, and we'll now continue this week, which is there is the Derech HaTeva and there's the Derech HaNes. The Derech HaTeva, you should just realize, says the Malbim, doesn't really just mean Teva. A Kadosh Baruch Hu also created the Teva. There's no such thing as nature. Nature is also by God. It's also by Kadosh Baruch Hu. He made the rules of nature. It's His world. And says the Malbim even more than that. It's not true. You should realize that even within the nature path, Mahalach, there's also Kedusha. There's also a difference whether or not Klal Yisrael is doing good, Klal Yisrael is doing bad, because within the Teva, it was infused with rules. Kadosh Baruch Hu made the rules also there, which is that when the world is a better place, there's greater Shefa. When the world is not as good of a place, it's worse for the world. It depends. And that's all within the Olam Kiminhago Holech. It's going on a normal, natural path. Okay? That's what the Malbim says in about the first five or six lines of the first paragraph there he says. And he says, in the first line, Ubechoz, the middle line, Hi ha'ikar b'hanhaga. This is the ikar hanhaga b'kadosh baruch hu. V'hi arucha b'kol u'shmur l'fi chukei ha'schar v'onesh. But it's still meshubit. It's still under the rules of schar and onesh. She may tivim ha'aseyim. There'll be better shefa. And if they don't, there'll be less shefa. Second paragraph, v'hanhaga zot aluma me'od v'stuma. It's very concealed. We can't really see it so well. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds up to the avos. The derech ha'teva. And this is through Nis, Nister, Vahanagazum, Yuches, the Shara Shemot, Vakinuim, Shekara Behem, Abore, Abid Barach, Al Shem Pulota, Vahanagato, Behoe, the Fi, Eight Hamu, Vahamunogim. Meaning, all the names of Kadosh Baruch Hu, outside of Yud Kei Vav Kei, we'll get to it in a second, Ani Hashem, up until this point, okay, and that's a little bit why we're looking at Sefer Bereishis, but that's not talking about Midrashim right now. Sefer Bereishis, Okay? It's a beautiful sefer. Possibly the most unbelievable story and turn of events, maybe Purim, is the story of Yosef, okay, and the Gilgal Esther. The two stories that are like the most absurd b'toch ha-teva. Nothing there is going on. Nothing here happened that was out of the ordinary. Just an amazing hishtalshalut, a chain of events that took place b'toch ha-teva Kadosh Baruch Hu. And all celebrations, if you look at it, okay, at least in the pshat, there's it's hard to find, okay, nisim gluyim and sefer bereishis. And the Poshim Shat. We don't have a Kriya Siyamsuf and Sefer Bereishis. We have a Kriya Sa'olam. Okay? But let's pass Kriya Sa'olam. Okay? It's hard to find Nisan. Okay? Okay, so you'll say, well, Avram, you know, defeated the kings. How'd that happen? Okay, so we have stories in history also where the Chalashim beat the Giborim and the Ma'atim and the Rabim. It could happen. The strange things have happened. But Nisan Gluyim, hard to find. You know why? Because Hashem didn't reveal that Hanhaga yet to the world. It's just about to become revealed. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. Mazda Ani Hashem. Says the Malbim, Shem Havaya, third paragraph, Mora al Elokut. Gehi Mashu Ba'atzmo Belo Hitlafshut Be'ituf U'Masach Olamo. It's the real thing. No, you can say the Coke, you know? It's the real thing. This Hashem says, now I'm coming with the real stuff. This is it. This is me. V'chvodu v'atmo. No dressing up. No screens. No b'chitzos. Here it is. In your face. Kadosh Baruch Hu coming down to the world and taking charge in the world. First time that we have such a intervention inside of Kadosh Baruch Hu on such a gilui level. V'alze amar. That's why it says, I came down with Yitzchak and Yaakov and Kel Shakai. That's all very nice by the elders. Don't say the Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm coming to you, Ani Hashem. Get ready. The techef, that's why it says, now back to Apsukim. The techef amalu Ani Hashem, shehu hasaga sheyasiga yedei Shem Havai. Now you're going to see what it means to be a Yud Kei Vav Kei Mahalach in the world. We are now transcending this world. New levels as we enter into Sefer Shmos. Klal Yisrael is going to start out with a whole new Hanhaga. Starting in Mitzrayim. Ki bedor hamidbar asa nisim niglim v'niflos gedolos matmidot all the time shedomim kibriyas ha'olam shebarach hadashos asher lo hayu, things that we never could have imagined. Man, Slav, Mayim, Kriyas Yamsu, Nisim, Makos, you name it. Har Sinai, crazy stuff going on. From this point and on in the Torah, we're under a new Dora Midbar is under a whole new masul, a whole new path. Different than what we've seen before. Different type of world we're entering now. This is the Yud Kei Vav Kei Ani Hashem. Now, this is the beautiful. This is the beautiful. Now we ask, what did I do to Pesukim? Says the Malbim, you Moshe Rabbeinu had a taina. Since I came, it's only gotten worse. Doesn't make sense. Why would you tell me to make it worse? Not only that, that's absurd. But you know what? There are 210 years in Golos. It doesn't make sense that the 210th year should be worse than the 10th year. Or the 100th year. Im hazman, things are supposed to taper off. Supposed to get easier. Not worse. How could it be that it's getting worse? Doesn't make sense. Lama herot lama zeh, says the Malbim, this is the answer. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, v'zeh haya gam ken atshuva. Lama herot lama zeh, ki b'seder ha'anhaga v'pichu ki ha'teva, haya ra'ui, she'be'ez higia tor ha'geula, yakel o ha'shilu me'alehem. You would think that when the geula is going to come, api svara, api nature, what should happen is when the geula gets closer, it gets easier. That's what it says in Yerushalmi.
שמדמה גאולת ישראל לעלות השחר. כמו שבעלות השחר יזרח האור מעט 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 ועד רגע, a little bit, a little bit, get later, 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 and then, boom, גאולה. So that's what the gaula was to be like. כמו שבשחר יזרח האור מעט מעט, and then, גאולה, it'll be sunny. So too my gaula was either way. And so too, Hashem says to him, "Is there rock the ace shetiyeh ha'gula v'nisin nistarim kimosha amin Mordechai v'Esther?" About the seder ha'anhaga ha'nisit yiyeh behepech shebe'ace ha'gula tzarich sheyigadel ha'galus v'ashibud v'haleida. It's gotta get worse and worse and darker and more black, more work. V'haleida tiyeh mitoch chavalim gdolim, great pains. Ume ofel gadol yavo pitom or shivatai. From the great darkness, the dark, 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 deep darkness of the night, all of a sudden, it's not a slow, gradual process. All of a sudden, you walk out into a room that's glaring with light, sunshine. Unbelievable! Doesn't make sense! I was just in the darkness a second ago, and all of a sudden it's bright. Does it make sense? Yeah, you know why it doesn't make sense? Because now we're not dealing with logic. We're not dealing logically anymore. The world's not being run in a logical fashion. We were working within logic and teva and hanhaga pshuta. Hashem runs the world, so then things run according to logic. So logic dictates that the gullus gets worse, gets a little bit easier as time goes on, which means it's getting a little bit better for Klal Yisrael as time goes on. It gets better, 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 and then boom, we're out, we're free. That's normal. That's Seichel, that's Teva, that's Mordechai and Esther. That's Purim. Slowly, slowly, slowly got better, got really bad, and then started to get better. And then, one thing led to the next, and Pitom, it was great. Tremendous Gula. But that's a process. Here, we're not in a process. Our process is going backwards. It's getting worse, and worse, and worse, and worse. Really, really dark. And then all of a sudden, from nowhere, we're out. Freedom. That's crazy. She says, you betcha it's crazy. But that's what you guys, that's what we're up to right now. That's the Kevav Kehan Haga I'm now going to reveal to you. It's the Ibcha Mistabra. It doesn't make sense. We're not working within logic now. So everything has to work against logic. The Gullahs and the Gullahs are also going to be counter logic now also. That's what Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu. Val ze amar atat yere asher yaseh leparo rotzim atash yegi akoshi hashibud al ad lemala pitom yizrach hashemesh hagaula val ze amar ani hashem shehanhag ata hu b'shem havaya shebo yaseh nisim gluyim shelo b'derech hateva. Beautiful. Okay, we strung now 10 psukim together. The last few from last week's parsha and the first 6 or 7 of this week's parsha all go together now. There's a debate between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe. It's not just words in the Chumash. Just semantics. It's not semantics. Each word is chashuv here. Moshe Ben is semantics. I don't understand. It's getting worse and worse and worse. What's happening here? It's bad. It doesn't make sense. Why is it getting worse before it gets better? Hashem says, listen. Ani Hashem. What do you think? You know, I couldn't expect you to understand this because you have no human has seen this type of hanhaga before in the world. But let me tell you, we're entering a new galaxy, a new time zone called Ani Hashem. Everything is against logic now. And that's why the next four psukim say, I came to the Avos, the Kel Shakai, that was a shame HaTeva, things worked logically. But let me tell you again now at the end of that, which is Lachain, tell Bnei Israel, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem tells you that everything now is going to be different. And we see, Lamaisa, everything about Mitzrayim was Lamal Min HaTeva, Lamal Min HaSechel. It's all different. And this also comes to last week's shir, which is that we said at the end, Mamash, we said at the end, it's 2 seconds, but it's, now let's spend 1 minute on it, which is, we talked about, what does Hashem, how does Hashem want to run the world? Want? Kilu, Kiviyachol. What does he prefer? If he had to choose, what would he rather do? So he said last week's shir, that the Ered, I'm going to go down. There was a Yerida for Kadosh Baruch Hu to go down to Mitzrayim. Why was it a Yerida? Because in order to take Haizu out, he had to change the Hanhaga of the world to be a place that Kadosh Baruch Hu had to reveal himself. Be the Galui. Work anti-logic, anti-smara.
as opposed to things just running kedarkam with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the back, in the background. Okay, it's cute, like a play with a director. You know, all you see are the people on the actors, but the person running the whole show is behind the scenes. Kiviyachol, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu prefers it. He's not a person, he doesn't prefer, like, you know, fanfare, and like for people like, you know, ooh, that was really cool. He's not looking for the hoopla. He likes to be in the background. Kadosh Baruch Hu, and behind the scenes. It's logical that way, that's how the world's supposed to be, and when a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to change the world, and rewire nature, in order to make Nisim Gluyim, that's the Yerida. That's improper, it's chaval. That's not how it's supposed to be. People who think that that's awesome. That's great. That's the way. Oh, that's amazing. That's not what's amazing. It's easy to see the greatness of the Kadosh Baruch Hu in those situations. That's not a godless. The godless is to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu when it's a day to day, when it's minute to minute, when you get up the next morning, you're going to sleep and you're recharged and you get up. And your Hashem is back with you again for another day. That's godless. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. That's the Madrega. Not the other stuff. The other stuff, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu do that. It's like small stuff. Zeloze. Our avoda. Okay, this is next week's parasha, the Ramban, next week's parasha. Our whole entire avoda as Yidden is to try as much as we possibly can, as often as we can, as seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu here, in the then, in the now, right now, in the normal. Okay? Why is it I'm breathing again this minute? That's amazing! It's a nice! Once in a while, in order to remind us of that, Hashem says, you know what? Gotta do something amazing for you guys, just to remind you that I also run those other things. But sometimes you could forget that. So you know what? Let me do a big nice. Do something, you know, really fantastic. Let me show you a trick that I have. Okay? Woo! Amazing stuff! Okay. That was cool. Now let's go back to the normal again. It's only to remind us once in a while, to give us flickers of reminders that, you know what? The Kadosh Baruch Hu is always there. He can always do whatever he wants. But he doesn't want to. He wants us to recognize him without that. That's our avodah in this world. And that's what our Kadosh Baruch Hu was there for. He was necessary at this point. Klal Yisrael was at Mentei Shari Tuma. He had to save us in this moment. But it's not ideal. It's a different hanhaga. It is a hanhaga. Kadosh Baruch Hu can choose what he wants to, but it's a less preferred track than the regular track. Okay. That's the Malbim. Beautiful Malbim. Mamash puts together so many great things. Okay, let's go on. Shem HaTov, in the second Aliyah on the Parsha, has a very strange, also, strange psukim. The pasuk says, "Pasuk Yigimah." Vayidber Hashem Moshe ve'Aron ve'Yitzreim u'Bnei Yisrael ve'Paro Mel. I'm sorry. Whoops. Pasuk Yibeit. Vayidber Moshe le'Pnei Hashem le'Mor. Hein Bnei Yisrael lo shemu elai ve'ech yishma'eni Paro v'ani ras v'taim. Klai Yisrael listens to me. Paro's not listening to me. I don't know how to talk. It's all bad. Vayidber Hashem Moshe ve'Aron ve'Yitzreim Bnei Yisrael ve'Paro Mel v'Yitzreim. Lo tzi Bnei Yisrael v'Yitzreim. Hashem says, Moshe Aaron, I'm commanding you to go take out Klai Yisrael. Shkoyich. I knew that already. They were commanded to go take out Klai Yisrael. What's the word mean by Yitzaveh b'nei Yisrael? Tzilut HaMeretzayim. They were Metzuveh. All last week's Parsha. From the Sne'enan, Hashem says, I'm Yitzaveh to go to Mitzrayim and take out Klal Yisrael. Mazeh v'Yitzaveh. Him commanding you to go now again. This is the Chidush. And then, we have a break in the action. Eile Roshei Beis Avosam. B'nei Ruvain b'chor Yisrael. Chanochu falu chetzom v'charmi. Eile Mishmechot Ruvain. Excuse me. This is a sefer by Minhag? I missed something. What does this have to do with anything? Why are we going to Yuchsin? We're in the middle of a heated debate. I'm going to cut it both of them. Are they going to go or not going to go? The future of Klal Yisrael is in the balance. One second. Reuben had four sons, and Shimon had six sons. Now back to our regular schedule program. Okay, they're back to Mitzrayim. What's going on? What does it do with anything? Only to get to Levi, which then he tells us that Levi had also three sons. And then their sons had sons. And those sons were Moshe and Aaron. Oh, great. Now it explains everything. What's going on? And then, at the end of the Iliya, Shani, it says, Pasuk of Tess, by the Bir Hashem Moshe Lemur, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, again, Ani Hashem, code word, I'm taking over the world now. Nice. Dabir HaParamach Zohar Kol Etzeko Hashem Nudivar Elecha, Vayomer Moshe Lepnei Hashem, Hein Ani Ras Vatayim, Ve'eich Yishma Alay Paro. I don't know how to talk, and Paro listened to me. One second, Moshe. Ten psukim before, you had three claims. Paro listened to me, Bnei Yisrael listened to me, and I know how to speak. And now, after I told you about Yuchsin, and I reminded you of where you come from, and who your parents are, and who your first cousins are, which was very important for the text right now. Now, all you have a time about is, I don't know how to speak, and Paro listened to me. Kli Yisrael, all of a sudden, is going to listen to you. That's interesting. They meant us to say Rosh Hashanah, Christ won't listen to me either, but he only mentioned two out of the three problems. But the other one he forgot. That's how we learn Torah? That's how we learn Sukkot? That's not how we learn. That's Chafif. Chafif means superficial. That's not how we learn. That's not Bediktuk. It says Shem Natov, a beautiful part. Shem Natov says in the fifth line, what's going on here? How come in last week's Parsha, we didn't want to say who Amram and Yocheved are, but yet Chishu Milik the Kachet Bat Levi. All of a sudden now we're telling you, and it was Amram, and he married his Yocheved, and they had Moshe and Aaron. Also now we're being lefarse in the names. So we got a sixth line, seventh line. Venire. DNA. Parshas Hayichus. Ba davka la'achar shenemar v'lo shemul Moshe. Everyone says, no one's listening to me. Christ is listening to me. No one's listening to me. Now the part of Yuchasin comes. Why? V'nasa Moshe tash koach la'tzil Yisrael. Ki inam aminim po. Kanal. Now Moshe feels like, I can't do it. I'm giving up. I'm itesh. Forget it. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm going back to Midian. Leave me alone. I'm not doing this. Venasa Ma'od Muzav Miyuash. He was very dejected, very down, very depressed. Therefore, he needed a new tzivui. The name of Ayatzavem El Bnei Yisrael. Omin Wikdiri Agriz Hanau. Meaning, we asked, what's Ayatzavem? The pasuk Atmos says, I can't do it. Lo Shemu Elai. Echishin Paro. Ani Rasa Time. Vayibar Hashem Moshe Aaron. Vayatzavem. Yeah, you know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu basically just ended the first round of Shlichus, which just ended. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm giving up. I'm out. I'm done. Next verse it says, you're going. I'm commanding you again to go. You must go. But now the new tzivui, there's an added addition. What is that? In Cain, Yesh Lomar, and therefore, now we go to the Yuchsin. Yesh Lomar, the Ramadu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halo Avicha V'Imecha Chayu B'Tkufa Shokol HaBen HaYelod HaYorot HaShlichu. Your parents lived in a very tough times. Your grandparents lived in tough times. Kids were being slaughtered, being thrown to the ocean. V'im naftu heim b'shitatcha l'hityayesh l'hitatzev ata Moshe lo bata l'olam. Had they taken your approach, Moshe Rabbeinu, and thrown in the towel, you never would have existed. You would have been nothing. I'm not going back to your heaven. You would never have come to the world. V'alecha l'mol be'amram v'yocheved. D'lamrod kolak sha'im lo avda tikvatam. V'alchu b'tmimut im Hashem. With all the difficulties and all the challenges, they didn't throw in the towel. So you should just learn from your parents. Learn by example. They're role models for you. If they didn't throw in the towel, listen, what, your situation worse than theirs? Their situation was that their kids were going to be destroyed and killed. Could you answer the terrible thing like that? What's your problem, Moshe? That what? You're afraid that you're going to go talk and people are not going to listen to you? Which would you say is worse position to be in? I would think that Amram Yocheved's situation was worse. Listen, Hashem, so then stop complaining. Get on the stick. Go back and do what I said. Noah Moshe Aram, is there a parsha yichus dafikan lachar havelo shmu? That's why it says after Lo Shamu, bring up the Yuchsin. The Duk, and I'm going to tell you one more great Duk.
The Ke'eg La'achar Yichus, Chazor HaKasuv, Alokan Emarak, Ve'ich Yishmalai Paro, the lowest Kirmash Lo Shamu Ben Israel.
Beautiful. We asked three questions. Number one, why does it say Vayitzavim? Moshe said, Klai Torah listened to me. Three reasons they won't listen to me. They won't listen to me, Ben Paro listens to me, and I can't speak. Then it says, Vayitzavim. Hashem gives them a command, go back. Then it brings up the Yuchsin. And then it says afterwards that Paro won't listen to me, and I don't know how to speak. They also mentioned the fact that Klai Torah won't listen to me. So now it all comes together. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm giving up. I can't do it. Nobody's going to take me seriously. And I'm giving up. I'm breaking off the shlichus. Hashem says, you are not. Vayitzavim! You will go back! And you will do it. Where am I going to get the kochos from? Why is this going to be any different than the last time? Hashem says, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little bit of your history. Where you come from. Let's start back from the Shvatim. Let's go back to the Avos a little bit. Go back to the Avos. Go to the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Now within Levi, something very interesting happened. We came to Amram and Yocheved, and Hashem says, listen, look, you came to this world, buddy. It was a chance you wouldn't have made in here. It was difficult times, difficult xeros. And they stood to, with the Amun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they did what I asked them to do. They did Puranu. That's what they were supposed to do. That either I, the king, was not going to make it, but you do it anyway. You go between Mus Halev and you hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. And they did. And that's how you got to this world. Therefore, that's where you get your kochos from to go back and do it. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, responds, I understand what you're saying. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? I'm going to go back, but Paro won't listen to me, and I don't know how to speak so well. B'nai Yisrael! We got to take care of them. Now that won't be a problem anymore. Meaning, I got the speech. I have. Klaito will be taken care of because you'll take care of them. How's that going to help for Paro? My problem is still Paro. I don't know how to speak. That is a problem that Hashem says now. I don't want to go and speak for you. But Klai Yisrael already, Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to go back because he understood that he has within him the ability to go back. And therefore, the whole parsha of the Yuchsin is here to teach Moshe Rabbeinu that the way for us, and we mentioned this earlier in the year, we mentioned it a few times already, we mentioned it one more time with this great Maram Makam, Reb Chaim Elazhin, and the Ruach Chaim, Parsha Sveire. And the Ruach Chaim, the Persian Avos, he mentions, by the Asar Nisyonos Avraham Avinu, okay, that Avraham Avinu, when he passes the Nisyonos, he gave the Koach to future generations to also get the strength to conquer Nisyonos. The same Nisyonos of going to Eretz Yisrael, of doing kvura at difficult times, of buying property when it makes no sense. All the Nisyonos Avraham Avinu went through, Mesiras Nefesh, going to Kivshon Ha'esh, all those Nisyonos gave Klal Yisrael also tremendous kohos to derive and to nurture from. Okay? In future generations. And that's what Hashem says here also. Yocheved and Miriam gave you the kohos. Look at them and you will get chizuk. And then you'll be able to go back and do it. We have to look just one generation back, two generations back. We have it easy. Whatever our challenges are, okay? They were easier than what our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers and other generations earlier had to suffer from. If we want to get strength, just look backwards a little bit. And we can get strength from the Masorah. Okay. A similar Masorah word is the Smorno. Okay, another beautiful word. Smorno says, how come we list Reuven, Shimon, and then Levi? And we stop. What about the other Shvatim? So Reuven and Shimon just mentions that these names are only ones mentioned because the rest of their descendants were nothing really great to mention by name. So only these were mentioned. The Shvatim and their own kids. Past that, it wasn't so anything to write home about. Okay, but Levi, this is what I wanted to bring out in the last two lines of that Sforno. About Levi, Sheherich Yomi Makulam, Gidel Gam Es B'nei Banav, Lahavin Lahoros, V'chein Kahas V'amram, V'ofen Shei Tzu Mehem Moshe V'Aron Miriam. This is a beautiful point, everybody. Listen to this now. Last week we mentioned, the Maral, that Moshe was destined to come to the world. That's why the Pasuk left anonymous, Amram and Yocheved. Not to me that it wasn't because of their schus that Moshe came. Moshe was going to come no matter what happens. Okay. But then we said, but okay, that's true. But Lamaisa, he came from Amram.
So there was a reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Amram, right? Some reason, we don't know. Maharal didn't say. Maharal says that Kanreh, he was the most Mukhan for Moshe to come out from him. Why? We don't know.
Here in the Sforno, I believe, there is an answer to this question. Sforno says, we talk about Reuven and Shimon, and then we get to Levi, and Torah says the Levi that's 237 years old. He was the oldest of all the Shvatim. He died last. Now, because he died last, what did that have to do with anything? What did he accomplish in his life that the other Shvatim did not have a chance to do as much? He had a chance to be with his family, his sons, and his grandsons. They spent many, many, many years together. The three generations. It says the Sforno, Be'ofen, in a way, She'etzu mehem, Be'ofen she'etzu mehem Moshe v'Aaron Miriam. Meaning, when we can, there's a beautiful idea, and there's a special, I don't know what you call it, ingredient, that there is when younger generations can connect with the older generations. When we connect with our Mesorah, we connect with our grandparents and our great-grandparents, those who have. It's not just, oh, that's so nice, look at that picture, four generations in the picture. That's so nice. It's nice. Don't get me wrong. That's not what it is. There's something magical. There's something beautiful. There's something intangible that is passed down from the Mesorah. You know, when you connect to your great-grandparents, okay, which is three generations back, and they connected to their grandparents or great-grandparents, you now have seven generations of Klal Yisrael touching each other. That's an amazing thing. You could be connecting back to the stories of your great-grandparents, great-grandparents, or their grandparents, and where they learned, and where they were brought up, and the Torahs they heard from the Chofetz Chaim, and who knows where back in Europe, okay? Which Rabbanim they heard from, the Chassid Sofer, who knows how far back it goes? 7 generations, a long time, 150 years. It's a lot. That connection is not just, oh, that's really nice, it's really special. Those who have it, you're really lucky. It's not luck. There is something that's being passed down by being connected to the Mesorah. And on a practical level, the fact that Levi sat and he lived 137 years, he spent time with his son, Gehaz, and his grandson, Amram. He gave them over a ton of Torah, the Havi and the Lahoros. He gave them the secrets that he received from Moshe Rabbeinu. That he received from his father, Yaakov Avinu. That's special. That's the schus. That it's not really Amram's schus so much. It's really that Amram was touched by Levi for a long time. And because he had that touch from Levi and that Mesorah that connects him back to the Shvatim, and he had the most years of any Shevet with their particular grandchildren, that was the magical secret why from Amram came Moshe Rabbeinu. Which is a phenomenal way to think. How important it is, how much we have to gain. Those of you, I unfortunately, when I came to this world several years ago, so I had no chance, and never knew either one of my grandparents, grandfathers, I should say, excuse me, grandparents, my mother, I knew my grandfathers, never knew either grandfather. They were both dead before I came on the scene. Come on. I missed something. Those of you who have grandparents, and maybe you have even great-grandparents, I don't know, but if you do, okay, it's not just, oh, let's just go to lunch together. It's nice to spend time with the old man or the old lady. It's much more than that. It's much more chashuv. There's something that they can give over to you. There's like a Midas touch. There's a golden touch they have of being connected with the chain of Mesorah that you can't get elsewhere. It's something you have to take advantage of. Something beautiful. And that's something that you don't know. Maybe because of that touch, maybe your kids will be different than what they could have been without that. There's something special there. Take advantage. That's what this Sforno, I believe, is telling us. Why Amram was Zoche was really Derech Levi who taught him so much Torah because he lived so long in his life. Okay. Let's go to the Berkas HaPeretz on the bottom. Berkas HaPeretz. Who's the Berkas HaPeretz? Okay. Who's the Berkas HaPeretz? Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's Kanievsky Sefer on Parsha. Okay, it's a little black tin Sefer.
Okay? And he has a great word.
By the frogs, the famous word about the frogs, okay, everyone knows, is it says, Batalach Tzvardeya, the frog came out, and it was one big frog, and then the mitzvah saw this big frog,
and you know the, what do they call it?
Pinata? Is it like that? Right? The thing that you hang from the ceiling, and then the kids walk around this and go, like, you know, try to hit it? Okay? So they have this big frog, okay? And all the mitzvahs were standing there with their sticks, and they saw this big frog. We gotta go to this big frog. Okay? Whack the frog. And what happened? Thousand frogs come out. Alright, this time I'm really gonna get the better of that frog. With the wind up and the pitch. Again! Whack it even harder. Another thousand frogs. Oh, this is awesome. Now, foolish. If first time, alright, it's an ace. Second time, less than ace. Third time, it's gonna happen again. And obviously there's something going on here. Stop hitting the frog! Does it make sense? They don't like frogs, right? They want to get rid of the frogs. So if you hit it each time, it creates another thousand frogs. Stop hitting the frog. So what's going on? It's very question. Like every bar das knows, stop hitting the frog. Okay? How many times does it take to realize that? So says the Rebbe Tzipera, it's the following. Ine, third line. Kishiroa mitzvim shamaki mosaki adeza mosifa lati svardeim harbe halo hadas no tension tzuchim lafsik mi lakosa. Stop hitting it! Kishiroa labosa tshratzim alalu. Logic says, stop hitting the frog. Ava ma hada hakas omeres. Kas doesn't say that though. Hakas omeres adarava. Mikivan she mosifa latiz, since it spewed forth more frogs. Kosha came the kosha. Ka says, oh, I hate this frog. Look, he gave us another thousand frogs now. This time we're going to really beat it. This is the last time it's ever going to breathe, and the last breath it's ever going to have. And you take the bat, you whack it as hard as you can, and another thousand frogs gone. And now you're raging. So what do you do? Hit it harder. That's what Ka says. Ka says, keep going. Because you're more upset. And it's frustrating you more that it's making you mad. So hit it more. Hit it harder. Great. Great idea. Another thousand. The kosher mosifa latiz hosifu lichos. The more you hit it, the more upset you get. The more you hit it, the more upset you get. The chamasam ba'arabahem the kach hi choser chalila he mosifu lahakot idnakem v'hi mosifa latiz nechalim nechilim schools of frogs keep coming out. Now, that's the word. V'chein hu b'chol makom. And this is the way it is all the time. She'kasim, when we get mad, ki im yishmu cherpasam v'lo yashivu, if we would just bite our lips, settle down, hear whatever happened, it made us upset, just take a deep breath and walk away. Walk away. Keep your composure and walk away. So then it'll dissipate, it'll go away, it'll calm down slowly, you'll get over it. But when you give back, when you answer back, you fling back the other person. Then the guy says back to you, why you say that to me? Let me tell you something. And then you say, well, you think that's bad? Let me tell you something. And this is how it goes. And what started off as like a half a comment that was taken out of context, or made you, or maybe it was really on purpose, he wanted to upset you. But it escalated to such high levels of hatred and sinna, and the words and the lashon that came out of from the two people. Disaster. Terrible. Terrible. Gam halo yosif lumato. He's also adding kichol efshar. In kain hadas notain shetov yafelo lo vitapel imze shetziro. Don't deal with this guy. La'avor b'shtika. Let it go quietly. Ad yavor azam, until your anger subsides. Amias akas omeres hachi anochi ashtok. What, I'm going to be a wimp? I'm going to listen to him to take advantage of me and let him just wipe the floor with me? No way, I'm not going to take that. Alzod matchil, and that's how it begins. Lashi, they start to answer back and to take revenge. The gam shekenegdo holecha mosif. Amin esakash lo meret shekoshkin sheish lashiv mana achas apayim v'kach leolam v'sofo kemakas atzvar dimi yitzvayim.
in the end, we end up with Makos of Tzvardeya all over the place. What it means is, in the end, we end up with a ridiculous, irrational, foolish situation. You're watching it, you're seeing it happen, it's unfolding in front of you. You know, if 2 days from now, you were to take a videotape and watch what just happened, okay, and see how you acted, you would actually probably, well, either you'd laugh hysterically or cry. One of the two. Either way, you'd realize that it was the most ridiculous thing that I just did. What was I thinking? But it doesn't help you to think about it 2 days later. Because in the moment that you're there, it's very hard to conquer how you feel. You feel rage. And you want to just lash out. You want to get back. You want to do it more. And when he angers you again, you're really going to rip this guy's head off this time. This is a, for the once a problem, really can get him. That's not the way to get it, to accomplish it. You have to gather your bearings. You have to get your seichel back. You have to realize that you're out of control a little bit. You have to bring it all in, recognize what's happening, and realize, you know, if I just walk away, I don't have to, you're right, I don't have to be a wimp, and I don't have to be stepped down by everybody, but this is not the right time to deal with this situation. Let me walk away, you know, and 3 hours from now, or tomorrow, let me reassess the situation and try to deal with it again with logic. Right now, if I deal with it, I'm going to be crazy. I'm going to be like a mitzri, hitting a tzvadeya. It doesn't make sense. And so much sinna in Klal Yisrael happens because of this. The fights that were innocent, they started off so innocently, escalated to such ridiculous levels because the one person didn't walk away. Okay? And just bite his lip. And again, I'm not saying therefore everyone should be a shmata and everyone should just get walked on. You should deal with it. But deal with it at the right time. That's how you deal with chaos. And this is the second mida that we've seen now, when we talked about a few weeks ago by Yosef. We talked about Yosef was toa basada. He was toa by the sada. We talked about kina. Okay? We talked about irrational kina. Kina takes you to crazy madrigas. Okay? To killing people for sneakers. To killing people for coats. Killing people for a field. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but that's what kina does. And chaos takes us to those same irrational, ridiculous conclusions that kina takes us to. We just have to be able to step away. I was remembering today, there was a, many years ago, I went to a couple of little kids, and went to a parenting workshop, and they talked about one of the sessions that dealt with disciplining your kids. And I don't think I was considered a child beater at that point, but you know, once in a while, a kid needs a good patch. Good patch! Okay, it's good. Good for him. He'll feel better. You'll feel better, probably, but not him. Okay, and in the particular session, this guy dealt with, in the hour and a half session, he dealt with this topic. And he started giving examples of, you know, when you're a father, you'll see that things where your kids are mom's getting under your skin, you can't take it anymore, and all of a sudden, whoosh, whack the kid. Okay, and I remember sitting there laughing. Like, the examples were very funny, and like, they were, and like, you're sitting there thinking, like, this doesn't make any sense. Of course it doesn't make any sense. Because right now, I'm sitting in a crowd, my kids are at home, okay? They're bothering my wife, they're not bothering me. I'm great! There's no problem here. I'm not gonna hit my kids now. You just have to step out. If you step out of it, you'll see it doesn't make sense. That's how you can calm down. That's how you have to, when you can accept it, and when you're healthy, when you're thinking clearly, that's when you can attack the situation. Okay. Beautiful story. Shitim Kubetzes. Fascinating Ma'amakam. Shimon Bar Kama quotes a very fascinating story from the Rimagash, Talmud of the Rimagash, who's quoting a story from the Rimagash's Rebbe the Rif. The first three Ma'akas were told Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do, Aaron did them. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hit the water, he couldn't hit the ground, and it saved him by the Teva, it saved him by the Mitzri, okay? And therefore he couldn't do the Ma'akas. What is this? So we learn beautifully this out. That you have to appreciate, you have to thank even the domain, even things that are not human. You have to thank them for helping you out. Anything that helped you in this world, you got benefit from, you have to thank. You have to treat with respect. You have to treat it properly.
And that's what the Gemara he quotes in Baba Kama there says, Bor, Shishbira, Shishasismine, a well that you drink from, Lo Tami Bekala. Don't throw into it a stone or a clump of dirt into something that you benefited from. You got to drink from it. It helped you when you were thirsty. So treat it nicely. Treat the water nicely. Rabbanu Shel Olam. What does this mean?
It means the same way that somebody else did a favor for you, you should treat them nicely. The water did you a taiva. So treat it nicely. Absolutely. Why? Because you think it doesn't have feelings, the water? Of course it has feelings. It'll cry if you don't throw the water, if they throw the rock into it. It's not nice. It'll be insulted. Treat the water nice. That's what we're told. That it has feelings. Not real feelings. But for your midos. Where are your midos? This gave you water. Treat it properly. What kind of person are you? What kind of ingrate are you?
So he quotes a story. On the 15th line after the break in the action, says the Sibir Rabbeinu, it was a story of the Riyap. He was by a person one time, and they came to the basin. They asked him to paskin a case in the basin about a moment of shayla about this particular fellow who came to the basin. He said, "I won't paskin." They said, "Why won't you paskin? What happened to you?" He said, "I'll tell you why. One time, I was sick. And I went into this guy's sauna. He had a very nice sauna. We had femelot, took a schwitz in his house. And I get a great hana from his merchatz. And I got better. And he let me stay in his house. And he fed me. And I slept there a little bit. And I felt great afterwards. And then that same guy, who owned that bathhouse, lost a lot of money. And he owed a lot of creditors money. And this is the guy you're bringing now in front of me to judge upon, that I should give away his merchatz to his creditors." Says, "I can't do it. I won't, I'm getting out of the case. I will not get near this case with a 10-foot pole." They said, "Why not?" He says, "Because I learned Torah. And at the beginning of the Makos, it says, the first three Makos says that if something didn't do a favor for you, like the ground, or like the water, you have to say thank you. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hit the ground, because it's helped him. He didn't hit the water, because it helped him. I'm not going to hurt this man and hurt his merchatz, because the bathhouse, the sauna, might get mad at me if I go ahead and I give it away, because it helped me. Not because the bathhouse is going to get upset at him, but because it's improper. It's wrong. The bathhouse saved you when you were sick. It helped you get better. So now you're going to turn the tables on it and you're going to give it away, because this guy now is in a even halakhically proper to give it away. But it's improper. The Mitzvah deserve the Makos, didn't they? But Moshe couldn't do them. It's not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of, you can't do it. You owe a debt of Hakaras HaTov to this item. You can't do it." And in the end he says, if that's how we have three dominoes, if that's how we learn from the Torah, the message, and from the Rift, the message of the Beis HaMerchatz, and from the ground, and from the water by Moshe Rabbeinu, that if that did something good to us, we have to be thankful. Then kavachomer, that if someone does something good for us, of Bathab Adam, who has real feelings, it's not only about me then, it's also about him. Of course, the koshikin, we have to be careful not to hurt someone that did something good for us. And the third domino is that if that's how it is, klape domain, and that's how it is, klape basav adam, where is our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? As he says in the end, "V'im zeh b'misha kibel hanav e'basav adam, kol shekem akav chomer be'aloka yizbarach, sh'mimenu nishpa ha'tov ha'gamur." We get so much good from our Kadosh Baruch Hu. "Sh'ra'ui lo'hodos lo hoda gemura, ve'lo yaseh mashiach nitenu, ve'lo mashiach senuyo." When I come to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have to be all the more careful then. If he does so much good for us, how can we upset him? How can we throw stones back at him? How can we throw dirt at him? How can we hit the ground? How can we be hitting him with our bad actions? That's improper. Where is your thank you? The way we could say thank you is by doing proper to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if he does good for us, we better make sure we do good for him. That's the message of the story and of the first three months. It's not just, "Oh, that's a cute word. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it. I don't have to do it because the ground saved him." That's nice. There's depth for both sides. Stop for a second and think. Ma chazaro tzim lamerotanu. Beautiful pearls are hidden here. Just of us to uncover them. That's the message
of being mechabed, even the domain, even things that don't have any real feelings.
Okay, the last words for today. If we get one more in. Yeah, one more for today. Chofetz Chaim, al Torah, says that Moshe Rabbeinu davened twice for Klal Yisrael. Davened a lot of times, but two specific times. One time, by the Nachash, the Hasrafim, when Klal Yisrael spoke to Shehara, and they got bitten by snakes, Hashem says, davened, Moshe davened, and then Hashem says, okay, put snakes up there, let them look at the snakes, and they'll get better. And here, when Klal Yisrael, when Bishmi asked him for Klal Yisrael to get rid of the Svardaim, Moshe davened, they got rid of the Svardaim. So how come over here Moshe Rabbeinu had such koach tefillah, and over there he wasn't able to help Klal Yisrael out? Makure. Second paragraph, he says, for everything there's a remedy, there's a trufa, there's a medicine, except lashon hara. On a katreg hanivra mi lashon hara, iyashal hasiro ki omeidu mi katreg kmo amasapir lashon hara she omeidu misapir befiv kena mi katreg hanivra mi achet haymedaber bemo piv viiyashal hashdigo. A person who's about lashon hara, once you create the words of lashon hara, they're there. You can't wipe out the words of lashon hara. They remain and they keep babbling. Just like you babble, up in Shemayim, the malachim that were created, the bad malachim that are mekatre, the prosecutors against you, lashon hara, keep babbling also. You can't get rid of them. Actions, you can do tshuva. You can abolish the action. But by the peh, it's just ruach. It was just airspace. So you can't get rid of that. Lachain, since by the nechash, it was because they spoke lashon hara, you can't wipe that out. All you can do is maintain it. You can try to get a little bit of help from the nechash, but it'll never wipe out the sin entirely. And he says a beautiful word. We say in the bottom, in the hara here, he says, the avinu malkeinu, we say two avinu malkeinus. Okay? We say, avinu malkeinu, get rid of all bad things and things that are against us, get rid of them. And then we say, stone pios mastinenu lekatrigenu. Close up the mouths of those who will come against us. So the Chofetz Chaim says, I don't get it. If the one line before we said, get rid of all the bad things that come against us, how come we say the next line, close the mouths of the things that want to go against us? We just said, get rid of all things that are going against us. So the Chofetz Chaim, because all things that stand against us, all actions as one level. That doesn't help the peh. Doesn't help the lashon hara we spoke. By lashon hara, we can't ever get rid of it mamish. But we have a special bakasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, stone pios, close their mouths. Don't listen. Let it be closed up. We know we can't get rid of it like the other things, because lashon hara is so severe and it's just ruach. But af al pichein, please close them up and give us a good din. Give us a proper blessing, even though we spoke lashon hara. And that's the difference between the kol tsar masti me'aleinu. You have everything? Everything does not include lashon hara, because lashon hara remains up in Shemayim and is mekatrig against us. There's more on the sheet, obviously, if you can go through more, you'll see. But I hope that we were bimamic a little bit in the parsha. We got some very chashuv yesodos. Mr. Hashem, for this coming parsha and for our lives as a whole.